What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with hosts Tyler Gunther, John Bosch, Doug Eddy to bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty Fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right into it with Tyler, John, and Doug with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. I am this week's host, Tim Keller, here. We have a very, very special guest. I'm sure a few of you may have heard of this guy. His name is Mr. Mike Wright of the Fantasy Footballers podcast. So welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast once again, Mike.
Like six times again. I don't know. I've lost track how many times I've been on the show. My favorite part of that intro was, I'm this week's host. This week's host. Yeah, there's not much confidence that next week you will be the host.
Yeah.
Well, Doug is currently on vacation, and when he comes back, he will resume his duties.
Well, we'll see.
You got to come strong, man. You got to tell Doug, I'm the host now. You left. You got Alex Smith. I am Colin Kaepernick. I have taken your job. The people demanded I am the host. Sorry, Doug.
I'll never do that to Doug. Doug's a fantastic host.
So humble. When
Doug comes back, this seat is all his. But Mike, it's great to have you on the show, and you are our Alec Baldwin for SNL.
I mean, JT.
You were here.
Oh man, I've been on the show many times. I appreciate it. It's always a good time hanging out with the Happy Hour crew. So I'm happy to be here. Thanks, guys.
So we are brought to you by the fantastic Sit or Start app. Go over there, download that. It's on the iTunes store. It's on the Google store if you have an Android phone. Great app for in-season, help you make those lineup decisions. And in the off-season, it's got the newswire. You can track all your favorite players and what they're up to this off-season. This week's episode, we're going to talk a little bit of trade strategy. Last week, we did some draft strategy. We got into a little bit of the trade strategy, but we're really going to go in depth there. So, Tyler, I'm going to pass the baton over to you. The floor is yours. What's your first rule when building a trade?
Probably find a player you want. Send an offer that you know is probably too high for them to accept. And then in the comments, kind of just put, this isn't a starting offer. It's kind of who I'm interested in. And then talk with them. I think the main basis for trades is talking with the person instead of going back and forth. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but chatting with the person in Twitter DMs, Voxer, and just explaining like, hey, this is where I'm at. This is who I want, and I will be willing to give this player. Let's talk.
Okay. All right. Now, guys, I know I wanted to bring this up before we got into it, but vetoes.
Oh.
Do any of you guys still play in
leagues with
vetoes?
No, I mean, no way.
That has to be a
no-go. The only vetoes I appreciate is I got a pizza place called Vito's down the street, and I'm all about it because it's freaking delicious. They have this breakfast pizza where it's made with eggs and sausage. It's freaking incredible. But as far as vetoes for your fantasy league, get out of here. We're not in second grade. We're all grown-ups. We all know how to make a trade. We understand the pros and cons. We understand that we're taking a risk, and we understand that maybe I'm going to win. Maybe I'm going to lose. We've all seen trades that come across the wire and we go, what? And you get really, really pissed off and you go, if I knew you were giving away players for free, blah, blah, blah. And then you turn out you were 100% wrong on that trade. But when that happens, you don't see the people who were threatening Vito come out of the bushes and be like, yeah, my bad, guys. I got that really wrong. I'm an idiot. So it just the idea that people can come together and vote on a trade. The trade is between two partners. The two partners have accepted that this is what I'm giving up. These are the goods I'm giving up. These are the goods that I am receiving. You have nothing to do with that trade. So vetoes, I'm on here strongly. Get your veto out of here. It has no place in fantasy football at all.
Yeah, it's been my experience in a few leagues that I've played in, this was years ago, that once a trade goes down and a veto takes place, that's it. There's not another trade that's going to happen the rest of the year because now everybody's vetoed happy.
Yes, you are right.
My trade didn't go through, your trade's definitely not going to go through. And trading's one of the most fun aspects of fantasy football because, let's say you drafted David Johnson this year. Great pick. Great pick at your draft. A couple weeks into the season, he's gone. Now you need to try to get some running back help. How else do you do that but going out and making trades with other league members? So you gotta have that open out there. You can't have vetoes. It really messes things. So, John, what's your least favorite type of trade? What's your least favorite guy to deal with in a league?
Say me.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly where I'm going, actually. I hate getting that offer that says nothing. That just says, hey, I'm interested in this player. Let's talk.
So you hate Tyler's strategy, is what you're telling us.
that first strategy, yeah, he doesn't do that one on me anymore. I know that. So I'm okay with talking about a trade before there's an actual, like, trade offer. But rather than send that trade offer and get my hopes up that I'm getting an offer, and then all it is like my guy with nothing in return, and it's just a note that says, I like this guy.
I will never do that. Send, you know, that is,
yeah.
That's erroneous.
I like the, you know, and I don't like getting a low offer either that just says, hey, by the way, this isn't my, you know, this is just an opening offer. Because in my opinion, then I already know that I'm hitting reject. So I'm not going to waste any time even thinking about it. I'm just going to hit reject, wait for your next offer. So I'd rather you just make an offer, like, or just talk to me off, like, send me a message and we can start chatting. I can let you know players that I like from your team, and you can let me know who you like from my team, and we can see what's going to work out. But that's my least favorite trade offer to get, is the one that basically are the big little offer that comes in that the owner sends knowing it's going to get rejected. It's just a waste of time. Now, like, kind of annoying.
Now, the funny thing is, when I get a message from John specifically, I get kind of nervous. My anxiety kind of kicks in because I'm like, okay, who is he after? And what is going on in his mind that makes him want this player? Because there's something he knows that I don't. And he's trying to gain value on a player. And I get that in home leagues all the time, where I think this year has been the hardest year to make trades for me, because I hit on Kamara, I hit on Wentz, and I've been hitting on just rookie picks. I've traded up.
What is this humble brag situation going? Yeah. I just drafted so well that I couldn't any trades in my home league.
I just, you know,
what happened?
I just stick to...
I got Kareem Hunt in the third round of rookie
drafts. I just stick to my gut and take Corey Clement as a free agent everywhere. And it, no.
Oh, you promised last week, Tyler. You promised. Agree.
Sorry. No.
There's another part to that too, Tyler. If you continue to, in this case, win trades or win deals, and you find it harder to gain, I guess, trade partners out there, I've heard people talk about it before. You can always do a mid-level trade and lose the trade on purpose.
Or you could trade Ezekiel Elliott and lose the trade, and then everybody trades with you, right, Mike?
Oh, is that where we're going? I mean, I figured that this was going to come up at some point, that we were in a dynasty league together. Tyler was so embarrassed by my dominance and his loss on this trade that he left the league. He took his ball and went home. But I was going to say, just jump in, my initial attempt at trading, I don't do the dance anymore. I guess I'm just too old for the dance of sending the low ball offer and be like, tee hee hee, you know, like, let's talk trading. Like, no, I'm going to send an offer. When I have an offer prepared, my hand will hover over the mouse on send, because I go, holy crap, I don't even know if I want to send this offer, because it's fair, because it's an offer that improves their team and also improves my team, which is, look, we don't want to do that. We want to win every single trade, but that's not how trading works, because you're dealing with another human being who also wants to win the trade. So I feel like...
I like to lose. I like losing, so...
Well, jury's still out on your trade. I don't even... I'm trying to recall exactly what our trade was.
It was 112, 212, Tevin Coleman...
CJ Procise, and a future first.
And a future first for Zeke.
Yes. And then, of course, I mean, Elliott was suspended for 6 games. He still ended up as the RB10, I believe, off the top of my head. So,
yeah.
Who did you draft?
Didn't work.
Wow. CJ Procise. Because it was the 112 that you ended up, because I won the championship.
I traded up and I took Dalvin Cook.
Oh, then see that's not a bad. That's not an automatic loss for you. I'll say, yeah. Because Dalvin Cook is an absolute monster. So and that's what I'm saying with people who are vetoing trades. Like on the surface, that was a very polarizing trade because CJ Procise is a very polarizing player. You have me and Tyler. I totally buy into CJ Procise as a talent, but the dude's body is made out of cardboard, so he can't stay on a football field. But if he could, I think that CJ Procise will be one of the better running backs in the league because of his skill set. So Tyler took the chance, but I believe that the entire league was like, whoa, you just gave him Zeke for free. And I when you sent me your offer of, well, first of all, I was sending lots of GIFs. So that's a pro tip.
Yeah.
If you're in Twitter and you're talking trade, send GIFs of highlights of the players. So I was sending Tyler, Tevin Coleman, and CJ Procise highlights in GIF form, getting them amped up. But then you sent your offer over, and I went, that's kind of a lot to get one player. Put all of my eggs in one basket. And then he got suspended for 6 games, and it ended up tanking my season. So, like I said, you don't know who's going to win a trade until you're way into the future, and you can take a look back a year and a half, 2 years, and go, okay, this person won or lost that trade.
Yeah, that was a fun trade, and it took us another trade strategy is it took us more. I think it took us more than a day to get that trade through.
No. That was one night.
Was it?
Yeah, that trade took an hour.
Yeah, that sounds like me. That I was gonna say. Well, that sounds more like me.
That's what I've also found. If you've hit that hour point and you're going back and forth with someone, walk away, because that trade is likely not going to happen the way that both parties want it to happen. So just call it a night. Come back to it later if you want to. Because I've had some. We have the one owner in my league of record, and I mean this guy is infamous. He is infamous for trade discussions taking 2 to 3 hours, accepting a trade.
The let me think guy?
No, it's not let me think. It's you're literally talking to him, going back and forth, like trying to just force your way through a brick wall, and then you can come to a conclusion of like you agree on a trade, you send it over in the system, and then it's I changed my mind. You're like,
That's the worst.
Get out of here with that stuff.
But
I was actually just in a trade where that happened, where I had a set deal, and he's like, okay, send it over. And he sent it over, and he's like, well, how about you add Chris Thompson? And I'm like, well, then we need to talk a little more, because that isn't just a piece. I mean, I got...
Just send over Chris Thompson, like it's an add-in?
I mean... It was a bit of back and forth, and I love trading with the guy. I'm not going to say his name, but he's a very delightful trade partner.
You know who you are.
Yes, you probably listen. And I got Saquon Barkley tonight. And it
what?
Was a,
Hold on. Okay, so you got the 1-1.
No, I actually got him.
It's a Devy?
Devy League.
It's a Devy League, and okay. I will say the trade. John and them.
Yes.
I gave up my boy Dalvin Cook, Chris Thompson, Corey Davis, and a very Devy depleted 104 for Saquon Barkley, Nelson Aguilar, Amara Darbo, Carlos Henderson, and a 2020 second.
That's very interesting. I at first I thought you were going to tell me you did all that for Saquon Barkley, and I was just going to laugh in your face.
But he got other pieces there.
That might have been me like a year ago, Mike, but I've gotten a lot wiser.
Sure, but I think that trade is actually that's very interesting. I think Darbo is whatever, but getting Carlos Henderson Carlos Henderson is one of the forgotten players of last year's Dynasty class. Much hyped. People loved him.
112 in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden people are like, well, he got hurt, so he's total bust. What are you talking about? The guy,
and if they get Kirk Cousins, I mean,
oh my goodness! And CJ Anderson's gonna get cut. This is happening, my boy. I'm gonna pour one out, and I'm gonna weep many, many tears for CJ Anderson because I love him so much. But he's gonna get cut. This is happening. So Carlos Henderson is not just a throw-in piece to me at this point because Devontae Booker. I know we're talking trade, but we're also talking dynasty football. I want to get your guys' Devontae Booker take because. The news came up. We talked about it on the Fantasy Footballers that if I had Booker.
Wait, what show? What show are you on?
The Fantasy Football. You're speaking with a professional here. Sometimes you got to just nonchalantly
talk. Never heard of them. Never heard of them. I should look into
them. They're okay. Mostly hacks and bums. Two-thirds. But
I like the food takes. The good food takes.
Oh, yeah. Jason does have very good food takes. I'm notoriously bad for my food takes. But. We talked about it, and I was saying, and I'm speaking it. I have Devontae Booker on our dynasty league, and I'm like, he might be at peak value, right? Well, not yet. He'll be when CJ Anderson is cut. I think Devontae Booker will be at peak value. Where is your guys' belief in Devontae Booker holding up as their 60% running back?
You're saying. That when CJ Anderson gets cut, Devontae Booker caps out, and that once the actual football season starts and people will see him on the field of play again, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's not that good.
That's what I'm saying. That I think Booker's fine. I think he's an okay player, but I think he is the 1B, not the 1A. You know, in today's NFL, that's what everything is. I mean, We're all lucky to get an actual three down. The three down guys are the unicorn. There's two or three of them, whatever. But I think that Devontae Booker is a 1B, and they're going to force him to be a 1A. So you
pretty much exactly said it. You said what do you value him as a 60% guy? I would agree with you that he's a 1B. He's the 40%.
Yeah, I agree.
Guy, or the 30-35% guy, because you're going to have that third back also mixed in occasionally. So you know, a guy that gets the 6% of the snaps. Like a CJ Anderson's built for. Booker comes in for 30%, and then you have whoever on the back end of your roster to come in and give the other two guys a breather every once in a while. But yeah, I think he's a lot more suited in that aspect. I think he's shifty. I think he's got good hands. I think if they had a power back in front of him where he could play more on the passing downs, be used more as a weapon for the passing game, I think that's a lot better for his skill set. I don't think he's going to be the between the tackles, first through, third down type guy. I don't think that's really his game.
So are you selling him right now, or are you waiting for the CJ Anderson cut and selling him, or are you holding Devontae Booker?
I'm definitely
I think
not
if you
holding.
Can.
Oh, okay. Hey,
I'll jump in there.
Hey, wait,
definitely not.
There's a mystery voice chiming in.
Yes.
The master of volume.
John, get in here. Shatter faces with your Devontae Booker take right now.
You said the word value, and I had checked that.
Yeah, the master of value right here.
I think I have a couple of Devontae Booker shares, and I haven't gotten interest yet, but they're in some less active. So hopefully when these things get rolled over and people look at rosters, maybe they'll start looking at players and come to me and if it's a good offer, I'm going to take it immediately and run.
Okay.
But if they try and lowball me and offer me, here's a late second, that's the league that I'm going to wait for CJ Anderson to get cut. And as soon as he gets cut, I will be trade bait guy that day. I will set him. I will set up Devontae Booker as trade bait available. Send me an offer and hopefully sell him as quick as possible. Because you're
and
right.
You can target the CJ Anderson owner.
His value will peak on the potential that all of a sudden he is the only running back that's going to get play. And then I'll go and get D'Angelo Henderson. Henderson for dirt, dirt cheap. Put him on my roster. And then when Booker gets hurt, I'll flip D'Angelo Henderson as well.
Henderson for value.
Now, imagine this. They bring in, like, Kirk Cousins, pay him a lot. Then they can't bring in another running back that's expensive. So they maybe get a LeGarrette Blount for cheap, who's a first and second down grinder. And we got Booker as a third down back, which he's proven to be able to catch the ball decently well out of the backfield. He could be a valuable PPR asset, But I think at a third round price is what I would pay if that was to come to fruition. I'm not paying
a
second.
A third round rookie pick?
The rookie fever comes in. Oh man. Third rounders are.
If someone sent me a third rounder after CJ Anderson is cut for Devontae Booker, I'm going to digitize my fist and punch you in the face through the computer. A third round? Get out of here.
Those are gold. Rookie.
Yeah, third round. Go back and look at your third round last year. It's a hit fest.
For me, it was a lot of Corey Clement. So.
Oh, good grief.
Corey Clement, I like that you drafted him. I picked him up in free agency, bro.
I wasn't letting that happen.
Fair enough.
I think maybe Mike's favorite running back, Doug Martin, ends up over
what,
there.
What is your guys' nickname?
Released by the
what
Buccaneers.
What is your guys' nickname for Doug Martin? I totally forgot.
Oh, Krampus?
Yeah.
Because the backstory on that was Jason was just hoping for a Christmas miracle, and so I had to inform him that if you're hoping for a Christmas miracle on Doug Martin, Krampus is going to show up and eat your children. If you're not familiar with the backstory of Krampus, look it up. It's delightful. It is a delightful tale.
Terrible story.
Delightful tale from our friend over in Germany. Our friends, I should say, over in Germany. But
yeah,
I mean,
you're welcome for that. There's a lot of things that have come out of Germany. Krampus and
my stance on Doug Martin is well documented throughout the ages.
The poop sandwich.
oh man, that's OG. Oh, Tyler, thank you so much for bringing that one back.
Yeah, but the thing is, okay, is he had two poop years in a row. Like, is that like a double decker?
Oh, it's an upper decker. I mean, this thing is in the
it's in the tank. Open. And now when you flush, it's all over the bowl. And
pull us back in here, Tim.
It's possibly the biggest mess ever. Open? Tim, just like this show as of right now.
Do we need to call
Doug? Guys, let's get back to trading here a little bit.
Is it open face sandwich? Is it like a turkey open face sandwich with gravy on it?
It's now an open face, no bread sandwich. So it's literally just a turd on your plate. He's getting cut.
I will not eat the kapoo.
This is fantastic.
I will not eat the cat poop.
You will eat the cat poop.
Okay, gentlemen. All right. Let's bring this back in a little bit. Let's talk about trading again. You got leagues that you've been in for years, and then you have your new leagues or you have new league mates. So, John, do you have a different set of strategies if you're in a league for 5, 6, 7 years, you know some of these guys' trading styles versus, you know, I'm new to your league. Are you going to send me some sort of different offer?
Oh, God, yes. Well, first off, I'm only entering my third year of Dynasty, so I can't imagine 5 or 6 years. I would assume at that point I will know exactly what to send, when to send it, all that. New league mates? Oh, that is so much fun. It's good for the league. It's fun for the league.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken over an orphan, and I've experienced that side of it. I've been on sides where orphans come in, and you get that side of it, too. New owners are trade. I mean, it's trade fever. They're taking over a roster. They have no emotional attachment. So I am sending that new owner an offer on every single player that I want off their team. I'm not going to lowball them because I don't want their first impression to be that I'm the jerk that sends a lowball offer, but I'm also not going to send that is one scenario where I might not start off with my best offer because they don't know the market in the league just yet. So if I can take advantage of that a little bit, I'm going to try. I mean, I'm not going to screw anybody to the point where they hate the league and leave the next year. That's just bad play. But I'm definitely going to send a ton of offers to that new owner to welcome them. And then when I've taken over teams, I actually enjoy that. That helps me get a feel for the league because then I'm trying to figure out what I can do with my team. Most of the time you take over an orphan, it's a teardown. I mean, like, you don't usually take over an owner or from an owner that was leaving the league and think, oh, hey, I've got a great winning team now. I don't have to do anything with this team. So the person coming in is coming in with a trade mentality. They're ready to do it. I'm gonna assist them in finding a trade partner as fast as I can.
I completely agree with you here, John. You have no idea what this new person values players like. And like you said, they have zero attachment to this roster that they just took over. So you have no idea who they're aiming to get. Who on that roster they're looking to deal right away. So you can just start shooting offers out to them, and you might be surprised by the feedback you get or the kind of accepts you might get. So, yeah. Mike, do you got any tips on this?
I don't disagree with what you guys have said. I just wanted to bring to light, just a previous experience. Tyler, there was the league that I talked about where Tyler, his tail went under his legs like a dog and ran away just absolutely terrified at what was happening.
This makes me look like a terrible owner.
we had a few. There was Tyler and someone else left the league as well. So there was two orphans, but someone jumped in immediately, was saying, put players on the block, and it was Greg Olson. And my team, I had Austin Seferian Jenkins, Colby Fleener, and Vernon Davis at tight end. So
championship.
I have a need at the tight end position, which he was like, I consider that my only hole. So immediately I said, hey, I'm very interested in Greg Olson, and they were looking for young pieces. And I said, okay, here's my guys available. I mean, it was one of those really straightforward, just communicate. These are the players I'm willing to trade. I sent him a list, and he picked someone from the list, and he unfortunately for me picked Malcolm Mitchell, like the guy I didn't want to trade on my list, because I still have belief in Malcolm Mitchell. He said, okay, Malcolm Mitchell and your second round pick for Greg Olson. And I said, that's fine with me. So it's, I think just communicating is key. And honestly, this is a PSA for life. Communication is the key in all aspects. Like, hey, look at this guy. He's been married for 50 years. How did you do it? Well, they communicated. This guy has been with his company for 20 years, and he's gotten promotions. How did he do it? Communications. So, yeah, surprise, surprise. Communication is the key. So, we had someone ask us on Twitter recently, what is your favorite way to communicate with your league mates? So, I will pose that question on this forum here on this podcast. What is your favorite way, you gentlemen, your favorite way to communicate with a league? Because it's really tough sometimes to get a hold of these people when all you know them is inside of the actual league, inside of my fantasy league, inside of Yahoo and ESPN. So what's your favorite way to get your league together, get that camaraderie and chat going? Tyler's got a finger. He's pointing at someone.
I'm pointing at John, because if this guy could choose a sponsor for any league, John, what is it?
It would be Voxer. I mean, you can choose whatever you want. I mean, if you want to do Maisie or whatever, I don't have a preference. If you really like a Twitter DM, that's fine. I like I like Voxer because I can record my voice, and sometimes that's easier, especially as a commish. When people ask me a question, I don't want to type out, you know, however 800 characters. If I can just speak quickly and give a 1 minute summation of what a rule is or something like that. So I do. I require all my owners now and all my leagues to be on Voxer.
That's great.
If they're going to join a league that I run, you have to be in the Voxer chat. I mean, that's my rule now. I only have one league that's kind of even a home league, and even all of them, they all downloaded the app. I don't care if they're active or participate, but you at least have to be in there. And there's times in that particular league where it'll get active for like a week before our big main auction. Then it'll go silent for a while, but at least then everybody has one way to communicate with. You know, if you send a guy a Vox, it should get to him. If you want to start talking about a trade, it'll get to him. Now, I will say there's plenty of leagues that I am in that a Voxer chat is the main chat, but I know there's certain owners that don't follow the Voxer chat. They don't look at Voxer. They don't even probably have the app on their phone anymore. So I know to send them, if I want to trade, I'll send them a Twitter DM, or I'll just email them. There are a few people who I have to email to drum up interest in a trade, which is
they have hotmail.com, right?
MySpace.
They're on GeoCities.
Yeah, they were real upset when AIM got shut down. But,
don't worry, there's MySpace messages. You know,
does Timberlake still own MySpace?
I don't know, but this guy named Tom has been one of the best friends I've ever had.
Tom's out, Tyler. JT is in. He's bringing MySpace back.
Is he really?
Oh, I don't know. He bought it a while ago.
Wow.
Oh my! But I do want to go back to the communication just a little bit about trades.
I'm trying to derail this conversation.
I know, but before we go too far, I'm gonna pull
and John's over here trying to be a good podcaster. Good for you, John. Good for you.
Doing what I can. So one thing, you know, you can't always send a trade offer to a new owner if they're in a dispersal. But during dispersals this year, I've tried to actually start talking with the owner at least, find out a little bit of something, get information on them, find out if there's any players that they don't like that you might, and then see if you can start working a deal immediately to see if, you know, when that dispersal's over, if they end up on their roster, you can make that trade right away. You already have the basics set up, and then it's just going through the motions or an acceptance. I do try and do that too when there's a dispersal going. Try and introduce yourself to the new league mates a little bit and get a conversation.
Yeah, and with home leagues, we use Facebook chat, and that has been nice because you can actually record your own voice on Facebook chat, and it's helped out my home leagues a lot. And I think that's been required by commissioners for those leagues. And there was a while where I actually wasn't a part of it, and I was actually out of the loop. I mean, my first Dynasty League, I think I just found out they had a Facebook chat, and I missed out for a year, and people were actually trying to get a hold of me because I don't go on Facebook, but on Facebook chat, you can now use your phone number. So
I'm laughing at that. I don't go on Facebook.
I've just talked about it for 5 minutes, though.
Well, that's the difference between the chat and Facebook. The chat is good for leagues because, like you said, John, you can actually record your own voice. The only thing about Facebook chat is you're actually only limited for a minute.
Ugh.
So that,
and it's called Facebook.
That would be an issue for John.
Oh my! Am I in an anti-Facebook propaganda situation? What's happening?
Oh yes, I'm highly anti-Facebook. My Facebook profile says find me on Twitter.
Oh. I was just going to jump in and say,
find me on
Voxer. My league of record and the Footballers Dynasty League, we operate with hidden Facebook groups. It's worked out. I mean, it really helps not just communication with the league and as far as trades go, but I mean, it just brings activity and life to the league where you go and you win a match. I mean, you post on the wall, you let everyone know. That's where the trolling happens. There needs to be a home base for the trolling that everybody can see. I don't have experience with Voxer personally, but your glowing recommendation has me want to check it out. So listeners, if you have nothing going on, check out Voxer, check out Facebook. I mean, just at least do something. There has to be a home base where everybody is connected and you can find a way to DM everybody, because I'm in a keeper league with a really good friend of mine from junior high, and there are people in the league that my only way of communicating with them was through the automated system from NFL.com, and it was garbage. It was awful. Mm-hmm. So we got a Facebook group going, and now I can at least pinpoint and say, hey, what's up, guys? You know, let's talk a trade. So a communication hub is so crucial to the life and success of your league. So make it happen.
Yeah. If Facebook's all you can do, it's better than nothing. I mean, even like when you did the Eliminator.
Wow.
It is better than
nothing.
Oh,
man.
I'm now glowing about
Did
Facebook,
Zuckerberg
right?
steal your job. Girlfriend? I mean, like, what happened here?
What happened?
John would rather use homing
there
pigeon
was this
than
thing
Facebook.
Called an election.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Fair enough. Like, fair enough.
I shouldn't say didn't care about, but I didn't have strong feelings one way or the other. And everybody else had extremely strong feelings one way or the other. So basically, I got tired.
Sure. Okay.
And it was done. But I mean, even like when you did the Eliminator, like just during the draft, I set up that little Twitter DM for everybody to talk just as the draft's going. Even that was a best ball. And that was just, I mean, it was fun. It was just to add a little communication thing so that people can, you know, get pissed when you get sniped and let everybody know about it. Or if you snipe somebody and then you get to really tell them about it. So communication just makes fantasy fun.
Yep. That's a huge thing. And yeah, if you don't have the whole league in a chat group, it becomes an issue. you kind of lose interest in even trading because you see a because you'll look at a team that you want a player from and you'll just instantly, your mind goes to, I'm not getting him because this guy is difficult to get a hold of. I mean, you send a trade, he'll decline it. No, you know, no counter or anything. And even when you send a message like, hey, what do you think? Nothing. And it's just done. I mean, there's no hope for getting players from different teams when you just know they're difficult to get a hold of. And it just, yeah, it sucks.
I will also say that the counterpoint to that is an extremely active chat. Sometimes messages might get lost. Believe it or not, when there's 100 messages in an hour.
Or 1,000.
Not all 56 owners are going to read all of those messages.
Yeah, Pigs 3 chat is nuts.
Yes, it's insane. But don't expect to put one little message and then it's followed by 1,000 other messages and everybody's going to read it. So if you know that your chat is that active, then you do have to make sure you're reaching out to people on the side if you want to start a conversation. You can't just say, oh, you know, I want to sell Rob Gronkowski and expect that every other owner actually saw it. Don't ever just fully rely on trading. Make sure that when you're shopping a player, you reach out to everybody and you don't just reach out to everybody all at once and assume that everybody saw it.
It's good. It's good. To answer Mike's question, I'm on Voxer. I'm on Twitter. And like Mike said, I have my league of record. We started years and years and years ago, and then we finally built a Facebook page. Tried to get a lot of those guys to come over to either Vox or Twitter, and just got some guys holding out. So the Facebook page seems to be where we're staying at. It's a place where it's private. The guys can post pretty much whatever they want, talk all the crap that they want to talk, and nobody really judges.
Yeah, I think a lot of people use GroupMe, too.
Yeah.
The entry boundary is just so low on Facebook. I mean, look, I know there's a lot of people who are saying, well, I don't want to be on Facebook anymore, but you have a Facebook account.
Yep.
So that just makes it easier for people and they don't have to download something. But I heard Slack mentioned, and Slack is unbelievable. It's such a good program. That's what we use for work, and that's how we connect with our listener league. So if you want to get into Slack and create your own channel for there, I would highly recommend that.
All right, guys. Well, does anybody else have any other rules? You know, they're not like live or die by rules, but just kind of rules for trading that you guys want to share with everybody.
Let's talk about future picks. And
that's exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Tyler.
Like future picks and the value that you kind of see them as in trades.
I just wanted to bring up that, yes, look, I'm madly in love with Barkley. Guys, there are those top rated rookies where we're all in love with them, but I want to remind everybody, rookies bust. Players who have a track record of success, it keeps going. So don't fall madly in love with the 105 when someone is offering you a player who has a track record of 3 years of success in the NFL. And not in college football. So that would be my only piece of advice here that, yes, if you have the 101, fine. You're probably taking Barkley. You're also doing voodoo rituals and crossing your fingers that Cleveland does not select Barkley at what is the number 4 that people are projecting him to go there, because that would suck.
But can I put a counterpoint to that?
No.
Cleveland landing spot?
Your counterpoint is garbage because it will suck.
The Giants O-line. I think that might be worse.
Okay, fair. But the Giants Giants are not drafting Barkley. Well, maybe. I could be wrong there. But anyways, my point is that there are veterans, and the veterans they've already succeeded. They've already proved that they can play in the NFL, and it's not it's not as sexy as the hope and the cloud-shaped dragons of these draft picks. So just remember that when you are holding on to you have the 108 and going, man, I saw someone draft Alvin Kamara with the 108. So you're like, okay, well, who was drafted at the 107? Who's at the 107? Mike Williams at the 106? Imagine you drafted him.
John Ross.
You'd be, yeah, oh, Joe. Don't get me started on John Ross. If I was on your podcast, I would have told people don't draft John Ross.
That would have been the guy to the far left of the screen, John Bosch, who came onto the podcast and was a belligerent. And this was after John Ross was drafted. I think he hit the bottle after John Ross was drafted.
I hit the bottle hard after John.
Are you a Bengal fan? Drafted. You're a Bengal guy?
I was. now I root for my teams. My teams. That's what matters to me now.
I actually have
Sundays.
Live audio.
Oh,
when he was
please.
Drafted.
Oh,
let's,
wow.
Let's hear it.
A 4-second clip of John after they took John Ross. Do you guys hear that?
I think Tyler
nope.
was trying to dub his
I heard
a
nothing.
Baby, a baby crying okay.
You could definitely hear him yelling, though.
All right, this. Okay,
oh, man.
We're going to do it one more time.
Oh, seriously? We're going to keep doing this?
Yes. That was so John very, very, after John Ross was drafted.
Very, very
and,
fair.
Yes.
But so that just circles back to my point of, look, draft picks are a crapshoot. Veterans who are producing are not a crapshoot. If they're not changing teams, if they're not having an absolute retool in the team and the quarterback, those players are safe. And there is nothing wrong with safe. There's nothing wrong with a cold winter night and you grab a blanket because it's warm and you know that it works. And some salesman says, well, I have this super high-tech heated blanket. You're like, no, this blanket works, bro.
But how cold is it, is my question.
Well, in Arizona, it gets down to about, I don't know, like 45 degrees. It's freezing.
Oh, my risk. God.
It's freezing.
That is shorts and shirts. my favorite thing on the footballers is when you guys say it's cold outside, and I watch the YouTube a lot with my son, and you guys are wearing like comfy sweatpants.
Shorts.
And, no, like sweatpants and sweatshirts. You can always tell when it's like 55 degrees in Arizona because you guys are all wearing sweatshirts. And
you're darn, because it's freezing.
And I love it because I'm sitting there. I think in the Midwest states, we would have our windows down in our cars. Our windows in our house would...
Will Smith summertime plan?
Well, we need a sanity check for the Midwest of America because the temperature's in the 40 degrees. It's cold.
Have you seen Fargo?
Yes, I've seen Fargo.
Yeah, so we don't need a sanity check because we already know.
No, but I'll take a wood chipper for Tyler.
Nice. I need that for some of the trades I make.
I have a couple tips I wanted to put out here.
Good job, Tim.
The first one being, don't send offers that don't make sense. Take a look at the other person's roster, and if, I don't know, let's say you're trying to go after a running back, and you're going to offer up, I don't know, Andrew Luck, but they have Carson Wentz, Tom Brady, Drew Brees on their roster. Offering up Andrew Luck isn't going to get you anywhere with him. It's not even going to get a counter offer. You have to take a look at your trade partner's roster, figure out, okay, if this was my roster, put yourself in their shoes. If this was my roster, what would I be looking for in return? So if I'm going after player A, what kind of player would I want to get in return? So if you don't do that, you're going to send an offer that the guy's going to look at and be like, that makes absolutely no sense. You're going to get the automatic reject. The other one I wanted to put out there, and this is a big one, if you put an offer out on, let's say, a Thursday afternoon, cancel your offer before the games are played. If you have guys going in Sunday games, cancel your offer Sunday morning because you don't want the guy you're attempting to trade for to be injured in a game and that owner runs to the trade table, smashes the accept button, and you are left injured player.
All right, before we touch on that, let's go back to where we were talking about draft picks before we turn into like the Dynasty Weather Hour or whatever it was. So one thing I did.
Hold on. That was the best you have, the Dynasty Weather Hour.
No, it felt like we were talking about the weather for an hour.
Oh man.
So, anyways, so one thing I will do, I make sure I know which owners in the league like picks and which owners in the league hate picks, and this is super easy to find out. Literally, go through and just pretend like hit offer trade to every single owner. You will see some owners with no future picks. You will see some with a huge long list. Make note of that. As soon as that league rolls over and that owner that doesn't keep any picks gets a new batch, send them an offer. Send them a vet. take that, get that pick from them, but then use that pick to get a better player from the person that only wants picks. So that is something I now do every time I possibly can in a league. Make sure you know which owners value the picks. Go get those for players that you kind of want to get rid of anyways, and then turn those picks into players that you want immediately. You will get called out for it a little bit. Some people will pay attention and find and realize what you're doing and might get a little bit annoyed, but hey, you know what? They didn't have to make that trade. They hit accept. So
now, John,
know which owners want to get rid of them.
I think I really want to know, do you use E-Trader for your dynasty leagues?
No. No. But I mean, it's a really simple way to, you know, there's two or three owners that they never have future picks. As soon as they get them, they trade them. So make sure they're trading them. And then, you know, there's other owners. There's two or three in each league that all they want is, oh, I've got six first round picks and over the next 2 years. Okay, great. Good for you. Like, fantastic. Thanks for paying your dues over the next 2 years. Just shovel them over to them. Take what you can them. You know, you will improve. And worse comes worse, you don't get rid of those picks. You will eventually get rid of those picks when the draft comes. That's either that or you just take the right player.
Take that Corey Clement.
Obviously. Yeah.
Hey, you guys, don't talk about him. I'm done talking about him.
Promise again?
Oh, he's not done.
No, that's going to live never, on forever and ever. So does anybody else have any tips for trades or things they like to try to do in trades?
I'm curious if any of you guys have a hard age, you know, the age limit, the age rule. This guy's getting to his age cliff, so now I have to trade him. I don't, but I'm curious if you guys have any. You know,
I've actually made
28-year-old running back.
I made a mistake with that. I made a huge mistake with that, and it was
you traded Frank Gore 6 years ago.
Yeah, no, well. it was probably Julio Jones way too early, and I thought Julio Jones was that.
Julio Jones?
I thought
way too early. Isn't producing. He just now about the 30 or something?
I traded him.
What?
When
what
he was
your age cliff?
Tyler traded him it after his 24-year-old season.
It wasn't an age cliff thing. It was his season where he went off. Like, I think he had 1,800 yards. And it was the year.
And two touchdowns, Julio Jones.
Yes.
Style.
He had like 1,000 catches, 300,000 yards, wow. And a touchdown.
Is that 1.8 yards a catch, 1,800 yards?
Yes.
Nice.
No, I sold Julio. Nice. And I think the reason why I did is because in my mind, I was still trying to figure out a strategy that I liked. And the issue was, I thought, okay, is he going to be even more expensive? Is he going to get more expensive? So I played the cards and said, nope, I'm going to sell him this offseason. I think it was 2015 I sold him. And I got Amari Cooper. And and I got another first, Duke Johnson, Marcus Mariota. And I will tell you, it was a regrettable trade. And
oh, really?
You just
Mike's laugh is the best.
The thing is, if you try to play the game where you know you're gonna lose, when you have a complete stud, and you know, like, there's probably a 75% chance you're wrong, you're probably gonna lose, and you just
see Tyler, I think you were trying to cash out at peak value a lot, like Mike was talking about earlier with Devontae Booker. There's a difference there between, I mean, if you miss on Devontae Booker's peak,
yeah, so what?
What, he goes into like a late first rounder at most. I mean, that's, you know, that's lightning in a bottle. Missing on a guy like a Julio Jones's peak and it ends up he has another 5-6 years of fantasy relevance in front of him, that's when you look back, man, I should have just held on to him for another 3 years. I could have got at least what I got there, if not more, you know, when he actually started to decline.
Yep.
Yeah, so you guys kind of make fun of me all the time for I will just buy and trade anybody, which I will mostly. There are like cornerstone guys that once they're on my roster, they just don't go away. I mean, I will ride them out for the rest of their career. I don't care right now. I have Todd Gurley on several rosters because I went after him last year when he was cheap. That doesn't mean that I'm going to sell him now because his price is just enormous. I could profit a ton based off what I bought him for. But the value that he brings to my starting lineup is irreplaceable. So when it comes to that level of a player, I don't really care if they're at their peak value. If even if his value is 90% next year of what it is right now, it's still not something that I'm going to be able to replace in my lineup. So for guys that are that high up, I'm not willing to just trade them just to try and make a profit.
Yep. And
the lower guys like the Devontae Booker, yeah, get them, flip them as fast as you can, because the more you flip those guys, eventually you back in to getting a guy that you just can't trade then.
And another trade strategy I want to bring up, probably the last one, always try to get a throw-in piece. Like when
that's great.
The trade
that's a great
we
piece.
Just talked
Depends.
About, Carlos Henderson, he's a guy I'm kind of just being like, okay, throw him in. Mac Hollins, another guy I'm saying, throw him in. Players that, like Ryan Switzer, Mike, I know you love Switzer.
Oh, both of those guys, Mac Hollins and Ryan Switzer, I love both those guys.
Yep, those are great add-on pieces to where you can be like, you know what? I'm not quite sure, but if you throw him in.
They did nothing. They did nothing. They're free.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're probably thinking in their mind, I just want to get this deal done. And you say to them, well, if you throw him in, it's a done deal. I mean, in their mind, they're like, okay, this trade's happening. I'm getting him. But you're getting a piece where you think you're going to produce. He could be a wide receiver 5 on your team where on bye weeks you could slide him in and he'll get you 8 to 15 points depending on if he scores. And I love Switzer's upside. I think Mac Hollins, his upside, you know, if Torrey Smith leaves, which I think we all is happening, he has big time upside. They love him there. So, I mean, just go for some low end upside like Leonte Carew. If Jarvis Landry leaves, he could see an uptick. There's lots of players like that to where you gotta look at the situation and be like, okay, he could actually be a player I might be able to start in the coming years.
Well, and also look at their draft capital.
Yep.
I mean, for me, it was I ended up getting hosed on a trade I knew I should not have made, but it was Kenyon. This was in the off season. I'm a LeSean McCoy owner. It was Kenyon Drake, my Kenyon Drake, and a second for Jonathan Williams and a 3. And I wanted Shady's backup because Shady was so old. He has his Paul Pierce, I'm hurt for the season moment every single freaking game. And I wanted to make sure I was insured. Well, Kenyon Drake, do remember, Kenyon Drake, I think he was a third round pick or whatever.
Third rounder.
But he was the third running back selected in the draft. He was the third guy.
Right,
so
after Derrick Henry, I think.
Yeah, so do not forget the draft capital of a player, even if they have done absolutely nothing. Not everyone comes out and goes gangbusters their rookie season. Sometimes they have to earn their way up the depth chart, and even it takes an injury to really, really crappy running backs like Damien Williams, and then Kenyon Drake becomes a usable fantasy asset. It takes that, but you go, oh, yeah, that's why they took him as the third running back in the draft. So if you're taking your stabs at throw-in pieces, go with guys like that who have really high draft capital that the Dynasty community has soured on.
Yeah, and going back to that, say you had your rookie draft last year and there's players that you loved, that you really wanted, like an Adam Shaheen, or even players that didn't produce, like a Kenyon Drake. Players can change year to year. Like Kenyon Drake looked completely different from what I saw at Alabama. And I loved what I saw this year. He changed to me. His style, he was able to run between the tackles, which I didn't see in Alabama. And, you know, he got Le'Veon Bell, where all you saw in Michigan State was, I'm just going to run straight forward. I don't think he had patience in Michigan State. He's a heavier guy. Now he's, you know, 225, 230. And he's one of the most patient backs, and he evolutionized himself. He evolved.
He files his taxes every single time he gets the ball.
Yes. I mean, it's nuts. We have never seen anything like that. So players can change year to year. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's rookie year, he might have been a second-round startup. Now he's top-tier guy. But, yeah, if you believe in a player when he's coming out and you weren't able to draft him and you have a buy-low window or an add to a trade spot, do that every time.
Completely agree.
So my last little nugget will listen to DFS Pod, the fantasy football DFS, the show, you know, the show for the rest of us, I believe is how you call it. But
DFS for the rest of us. That's right.
For the rest of us. There it is. I'll even plug your pod there for you.
A Festivus knockoff. I like it.
Hey, what? No,
of course not.
No.
No way that's worth it. He doesn't even use that exact same tone, too, when he says it.
What is Festivus?
It's not spot on.
What
is Festivus? I don't know what you're talking about.
So,
what's the deal with Cornus?
Is there a DFS poll and you air your grievances?
What are you talking about? I have no idea. You guys are so weird.
There actually could be a DFS poll. The whoever you went with the week before, you could definitely air that grievance. There's a good, that could be a good one. Nonetheless, listen to DFS pods. And actually, like, if they're talking about a guy that's maybe got a good matchup because of an injury, something like that. I'll never forget going and getting Taylor Gabriel because I heard about him on DFS pods. Like,
probably from Mike.
Actually, I think this was like 2 years ago.
This was 2 years. Yeah, we weren't DFSing when Taylor Gabriel was a thing.
I think it was probably Levitan and the DFS Edge, that pod, actually. So I'll give them. But I went and I just grabbed him off waiver wires. And he did. Sure enough, he had a great matchup. He had a great game. He looked great. And I was like, all right, I'll take any third-round pick. And I just went and got third-round picks. So basically I got free picks off the waiver wire, which you can't just come by those. So that's one thing I do to trade.
It's a great tip.
I will listen to DFS pods. I will always try and target one guy that is going to have that week, you know, that minimum value player that everybody talks about. Listen hard when they talk about a min-priced player, and then go get them on your team and trade them if that min price acts.
Yep. A good example, Paul Richardson. You could have probably found him on waiver wires this at the beginning of the year. And
yeah,
when he was hot, you could probably get a second rounder for him.
And that's another draft stock thing. Wasn't Paul Richardson was a second round pick, wasn't he?
I think they traded up actually to get him.
Oh man, a guy they trade up for? That speaks volumes.
Kareem Hunt.
So yeah, exactly. Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, when a team moves up for a player and they bust their first year, don't freak out. Like,
can I give you
just
another
have
player?
Patience.
Leonte Carew. Sure. The Dolphins gave up a third and a fourth rounder.
Sometimes teams are wrong, Tyler. Sometimes teams are wrong.
Dolphins are never wrong.
Oh, the Dolphins, the originators of the freaking hype train. The Dolphins are my favorite part of the offseason because every single one of their players is going into the Hall of Fame.
But speaking of the Dolphins, I got to give Doug a shout out. He was on a flight and it showed the stadium, the Dolphins' new stadium, and it looks like a toilet bowl from a plane. And he said, "Too bad I couldn't crap out the window. I have a target." He's a Patriots fan, so.
Do Patriots fans worry even about other teams in their division? I kind of figure at this point they only worry about the NFC, right?
Oh man, but you got a feel for Patriots fans because you know. Darkness is coming.
Did you
Winter
just say
is...
someone has to feel for Patriots fans?
No, I mean they have to worry. They have to worry about their team because winter is coming, and I can feel it. I mean, there's going to be a dark period where that team is not going to be as great as they are.
I think they have some sunny days before. I'm not too worried about Patriots.
Winter is coming for the team that's been in the Super Bowl 50% of the time for the last 20 years.
But I mean, Tom Brady, he's like, I feel like his battery's getting low. His charge isn't sustaining.
The MVP of the season?
I'm talking about like he's a robot, but you've got to upgrade that robot sometimes, and they're trying. But Bill doesn't look like he's up with electronics. So
there's not an upgrade to the MVP though.
Yeah. There's literally no better player.
Can I just say one player? Matt Ryan. Oh.
Wait, what?
He won MVP and he dropped off.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
Yeah, that's a Steve Sarkisian problem.
Yeah, trust me. Hitting the bottle a little too much, Steve. But
get bodied. Tyler.
I'm not happy with him, so.
Tyler.
I do want to say that, like, can we all agree, though, the Patriots, like, it's not as bright and shiny as it was.
If you had to pick one team where you have no allegiance to the NFL, you go in the next season and say, hey, I get to be a fan of one team, and the team I want to root for, I want to be the Super Bowl.
Vikings.
You're going to go?
Jags.
Vikings.
You're the what?
The fight.
Jags.
Jeez, okay. I'm sure you would really choose the Vikings.
Vikings.
Given the fact they have no quarterback and the Patriots have the best quarterback.
They didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with John here.
They didn't have a quarterback all year.
Yeah,
were you in the Super Bowl?
How far did they get?
Tyler, did I miss something?
The
were
game,
they in the Super Bowl?
Take Keenum out. Put Bradford in.
I will take that roster with that coach with what they have. Yeah.
What do you want to bet? I will bet that the Patriots go further than the Vikings there. Let's see how confident you are.
If only you were watching the video, because right now Tim is just parading an Eagles t-shirt.
If he had a beer can, he'd probably throw it at us.
But anybody that's just getting to choose a team, there's no way you're choosing a team to root for other than the Patriots.
I'll bet 5 pig coins.
You don't even have 5 pig coins.
You do not have five pig coins.
He'll find them.
No, he doesn't.
That's pig. More than the max. The max, the max
pig.
That you can bet is $25, I think. So we'd have to do like two pig coins and $5.
But no, like you asked me an
Mike
honest question.
Mike has no idea what we're talking about, and he's still laughing at this, because this is the insanity that has come of this league.
No, well, I can only imagine what pig coins cost if we're talking about $5.
It's a Scott Fish league, and we're actually going to dig into it next week on the podcast. So,
all right. So
let's put a little bow.
No, I got to get this bet solid because I want Tyler's money.
We will talk about that off air. So,
he's welching on the deal already.
Let's put a bow on the Bays pod. We'll talk about the pig coins and everything next week. So. Beyond your draft and beyond the waiver wire, the only other way to build your rosters, there's multiple ways to do it. Everybody else has a slightly different philosophy, but we kind of gave you some of our tips, some of our ideas, some of the ways we like to do. So with that, with that being said, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'd like to thank our guest, Mr. Mike Wright, the fantasy hitman himself.
No, I want to thank Mike. You, Tim.
No, sir. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
I want you two to go back and forth for like 2 minutes. No, thank you.
No. No, thank you, sir.
No. Thank you.
You can find this fantastic gentleman that I would love to thank on Twitter at the FF Hitman.
At FF. Okay, you got to get my Twitter handle right. Come on now. At FF Hitman. There's no the.
I'm sorry.
Check for the verified.
He is the FF Hitman, but his Twitter handle is just FF Hitman.
Check for the verified. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Are you verified, Tyler? God, no.
If I ever was before you, I would talk to Twitter myself and be like, okay, the system is flawed.
Mistakes have been made.
Yeah.
You're like, you're the guy in the McDonald's line making fun of me in the Wendy's line.
Oh, do you get that now? Like,
I'm a Burger King guy.
Hey, no shame. Double Whopper with G.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
You can find the rest of us on Twitter. Tyler is at @DHH_Tyler. Of course, John at EmpireFFL and myself at @DHH_Tim. Again, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the Sit or Start app. Anything else, gentlemen?
Yeah, we just talked about trades. I want to give a great podcast a shout out. Was it Trades HQ podcast with Shane?
What is? Wait, you're giving a shout out and you said what is it?
Dynasty Trades HQ. I wanted to give them a shout out. It's a great podcast. Shane, who is in Pigs, is on it. I love their trade talks, and Shane is just awesome to hear because he just doesn't care what others think, and he just spills it out, puts it on the table.
He's got a voice made for miming.
Oh yeah. Whatever that means. That was a mean comment. No, Shane, you do you.
That was brutal, John.
No, Shane.
That was the meanest thing said tonight.
That was.
And we called someone a poop sandwich.
No, an open face poop sandwich.
Shane,
Doug, we
Shane
miss you. We need you back here as quick as possible.
Doug,
so you
Doug
can,
can't fix this.
Wrangle these gentlemen back into place. For everybody on the show, thanks again to Mike. That's the last one. We're done for the week. We'll see you next time.
That's all the time we have today for the Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Find Tyler at @DHH_Tyler. Follow Doug at @TheFantasyFather. And finally, John at @EmpireFFL. Follow us on Twitter at @DynastyHHPod. Music is brought to you by the fantasy hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.